The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone to our service of morning prayer today on the second Sunday in Advent. And we want to welcome also those who are joining us online. And in our service today, we're going to be thinking about the importance of our spiritual preparations for this season of Advent and Christmas. On your way in, hopefully everybody will have seen the notices for the week that is to come. Just going to mention one or two things that don't happen every week, just to draw particular attention to them. Most of our regular weekly activities are happening this week, but on Tuesday evening at 7:30, we're having a special evening over in the hall when Dr. Stephen Rogers, a GP and a pastor, is going to be speaking a little bit about the subject of coping with stress. And often this season of Advent and the month of December can be a busy and a stressful month. And Stephen is going to share some thoughts about coping with stress at 7:30 on Tuesday evening. And I think that'll be a really worthwhile evening, and everybody is very welcome to the church hall. Sort of evening you can invite a friend or neighbor to, and everybody is very welcome. The Church's Ministry of Healing on Wednesday morning are hosting a coffee morning between 10:30 and 12:30. That's just almost opposite the church, number 162, Upper Knockbreda Road. And they're going to have some seasonal gifts for sale, as well as tea and coffee and seasonal goodies. And everybody's very warmly invited if they'd like to go, and they're free on Wednesday morning. On Wednesday afternoon, the Ladies' Afternoon Friendship Group are meeting at 2:00, and on Thursday evening at 7:30, we have the second of our midweek Advent services. We're thinking of the theme of generosity throughout the season of Advent, and this week we're thinking about generosity with our time and our talents, and that's on Tuesday evening at 7:30. At the back of the church, the free will offering envelopes are available for 2023. If you can take away envelopes belonging to yourself, or if you know a friend or neighbor who's not able to come at the moment, please take theirs for them. We'd be very grateful. And also, as we begin our preparations for this season, we always come to the point in the season of Advent where we light our Advent wreath. And that's what we're going to do now, as today we think of the prophets who prepared the way for the coming of Jesus. As we light the candles in our Advent wreath, we always remember the preparations that God our Father made for the coming of his Son into the world. Our first candle, which was lit last week, reminded us of Abraham, Isaac, Moses, and David, who all looked forward to the coming of Jesus. Today is the second Sunday in Advent, and we remember today how God our Father also spoke to people through his prophets and told them of the Christ who was to come. Isaiah said, "A child is born to us, a son is given to us. He will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." Jeremiah said, "The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will choose as king a righteous descendant of David. This king will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our salvation." Ezekiel said, "I will show myself holy among you in the sight of the nations. Then you will know that I am the Lord." And Micah said, "Out of Bethlehem will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." So now we're going to light our second candle. And as we light this second candle, we remember Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Micah, who prepared the way for the Messiah who was to come. And we're going to join together to sing our opening hymn, "Hark, a Thrilling Voice is Sounding."
Good morning, and you're very welcome to this, our service of morning prayer. Beloved in Christ, we have come together to offer to Almighty God our worship, praise, and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's stand and say our psalm today, which is Psalm 72.
Give the king your judgments, O God.
Give the king your judgments, O God, and your righteousness to the son of a king. Then shall he judge your people righteously, and your poor with justice. May the mountains bring forth peace, and the little hills righteousness for the people. May he defend the poor and among the people, deliver the children of the needy, and crush the oppressor. May he live as long as the sun and the moon endure, from one generation to another. May he come down like rain upon the mown grass, like the showers that water the earth. In his time shall righteousness flourish, and abundance of peace till the moon shall be no more. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does wonderful things, and blessed be his glorious name forever. May all the earth be filled with his glory. Amen. Amen.
Our Old Testament reading is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 11, beginning at the first verse. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious. This is the word of the Lord.
As we sing the next hymn, can I ask children and young people to go through to Sunday school? Our next hymn is On Jordan's Bank.
Our New Testament reading is from the Gospel according to St. Matthew chapter 3, beginning to read at the first verse. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the tree, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. This is the word of the Lord.
We're going to take a moment or two to watch a video now. It looks at Advent and asks what the meaning of Advent is.
Okay, so I've got an advent calendar, but what exactly is advent?
The word advent is derived from the Latin word adventus, meaning coming or arrival, which is a translation of the Greek word parousia.
So it doesn't mean little tiny chocolates behind little tiny windows?
Not quite, although they are pretty great. Advent is the time of preparation before Christmas. Christians believe that Advent isn't just about waiting for Christmas to happen.
So it's about getting ready for Christmas, like buying presents, decorating the house, and sending out Christmas cards?
You're getting warmer. It's actually about getting ready for the birth of a very special baby.
Oh, I know this one. It's baby Jesus.
Got it in one.
So how do Christians prepare for Christmas then?
One way is lighting 5 candles, each of them having a different meaning. Candle number 1 is the candle of hope, which represents some of the first people to follow God. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They were born a really, really, really long time ago. Candle 2 is the candle of peace, which represents the prophets, who were the people who predicted the birth of Jesus. Candle 3 is the candle of love, which represents John the Baptist. Candle 4 is the candle of joy, which represents Mary, the mother of Jesus. Christians use this time to pray and give thanks to God.
That's amazing. So the candles help Christians to remember to have hope, love, peace, and joy during Advent. I wonder what sort of things our friends do to prepare for Christmas.
Christmas tree and decorate it.
I hang the bells on the Christmas tree.
We make a Christmas cake and we put the apple colours out.
I go ice skating with my family.
I set up my lights and when each day is gone I have some chocolate.
Opening my calendar.
I go to the Christmas markets, listen to Christmas music and dress up in some elf.
And then I wrap a few presents up and sometimes make cookies for Santa.
Jessica, I can't help but notice that you mentioned five candles, but you've only mentioned four.
That's because the last one is the most important one. We light it on Christmas Day because it represents Jesus. With each candle that is lit, the light gets brighter and brighter as if it's building up to the ultimate light.
I think I get it now. So Advent isn't about shopping, stressing, planning and buying. It's about expecting, waiting, hoping and praying.
That's right. So, Chris, are you ready to get ready for Christmas?
I'm ready.
Hit it.
It's good to think about the basics of what we're doing in Advent, and it's also good to be able to explain it to people around us and children in the congregation and at home. So that was worthwhile. We're going to continue to think about Advent, think about what we believe, because these are fundamentals to our faith as we stand and say together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray. A collect for today, the second Sunday of Advent. O Lord, raise up thy power and come amongst us with great and might succor us, that whereas through our sins and wickedness we are sore and hindered in running the race that is set before us, thy bountiful grace and mercy may speedily help and deliver us through the satisfaction of thy Son, our Lord, to whom with thee and thy Holy Spirit be honor and glory, world without end. Amen. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go before us, Lord, in all our doings with your most gracious favor, and further us with your continual help, that in all works begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name. And finally, by your mercy, attain everlasting life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let's stand and sing together, Lord of the Church.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. During this past week, one day the parish hosted a meeting on behalf of the diocese, and it involved people attending a meeting in person here in the church, and it also involved others from various parts of the diocese logging into that meeting via Zoom. And a member of the technology team spoke with me about the many hours that went into preparing for the meeting, so that on that day, it all seemed to work almost seamlessly. And preparation seems to be the key to success in most fields of life. If you watch rugby on television, as I do, when you watch goal kickers, or if you watch Olympic divers entering a diving pool with hardly a ripple in the water, or if you watch a snooker player on television compose a century break, it seems almost effortless. We watch master chefs or musicians in an orchestra, and they seem to make these things look so easy. And the reality, of course, is that behind all of these actions that we see, which often take quite a short time, lie many thousands of hours preparing and honing those skills. And people repeat certain things over and over again until they somehow become almost ingrained within them. And you can reproduce those skills as you need to, even in pressurized or challenging circumstances. And so we might wonder, what has all of this got to do with the life of faith? Well, it's got quite a lot to do with it if we take on board the message of John the Baptist in this morning's gospel reading. Indeed, as we've been hearing, one of the key themes of this season of Advent is preparing our hearts to welcome the birth of Jesus. We sing about it in our hymns, we go on about it in our sermons, but what does that actually mean, to prepare our hearts to welcome the birth of Jesus? I'm one of those people who usually set myself enormous targets about all the things that I want to do before Christmas. There are calls to do, there are cards to write, there are presents to buy, there are people to make touch with that I haven't been in touch with in quite a while. And I stack all of these things up, and then I cram in a few extra events that I think we should try to do as a family. I try to react to the unexpected events which might occur. And then I wonder why I don't seem to be growing spiritually in this season. And when I analyze my addiction to busyness and frantic activity in this season, it's often rooted in a desire to be at the heart of everything. A delusion that says, this is what people expect. These are the things that you need to do to be popular, to appear competent, to promote a spiritual life, and to give the veneer of a vibrant parish to the world around you. And then you listen to John the Baptist as he speaks in today's gospel reading. And when you listen, he tends to blow all of that lot into the water completely. Because what he's asking of me and of you is much more simple, and in fact much more direct than all of that. In fact, what he's saying is that much of the stuff that I've invested so much energy and time in doing is not preparing for Jesus at all. It's just feeding your idolatrous tendencies to create this world or this illusion around what's truly important. And you know, even if I were to achieve every single thing on my to-do list before December 25th, John says it wouldn't actually answer the simple question that he's looking to explore one way or the other. And the simplicity in John's question is this: how is your heart? How is my heart towards God?
Is it open? Is it submissive to his rule and to his authority? Or is my heart at the present time about doing what I think is important? Is it about meeting the expectations of others or of myself? And when I ask that question, it's not a very nice question to be confronted with. But the good news today is that John gives us both an answer to that question, and he also offers us hope as we approach that question. If we want to do those hidden hours of preparation that people do to pursue those things they believe are really important, and we were talking about this at the very beginning, all those hours of practice that go into the things that we believe are really important, if we want to excel at them, for John, all of these hours of preparation begin with repentance. And we might ask, what's repentance? Well, repentance is essentially coming before God as we really are, stripping away all the layers of excuses, getting off the treadmill of busyness and activity, and saying, here's how it is really for me at the moment, and I'm sorry. I've got so caught up in this popular culture that I need to be exhausted and frazzled, that I need to buy expensive presents that I can't afford, and I'm so busy doing stuff for you that I never stop to be with you. And all of this needs to change. I'm not quite sure what that will look like because I've been doing it this way for so many years, and I'm sorry. Will you help me to change and to do it your way? I don't know about you, but even as I say those things, they really make me feel quite anxious and panicky. What will people think? What if we don't do X or Y? Will this whole edifice of delusions about what's truly important come crashing down around us? One of the many privileges of what I get to do is that I get to spend time with people who are preparing for baptism. And you speak with those people if they're old enough, or more often in our tradition, you speak with their parents, and you speak about what baptism is all about. And baptism literally means to immerse ourselves, or to place Jesus at the very center of our lives and our thinking. It's almost like we immerse ourselves in his life as we give him the first place. And John spoke about this point of repentance, of stopping and seeking to turn our lives around and to orientate our lives towards Jesus. John had found a personal faith in Jesus. And what's interesting to me is that for John, that wasn't the end of his journey. Very often, if we have found a personal faith, we think that's the most precious thing in the whole world. We have this connection with Jesus, and even if others don't have that same connection, we know somehow within ourselves that this relationship with Jesus shapes and directs our lives. It gives us meaning, gives us purpose, and it gives us hope for a life beyond this life. But John urges us to take it to another level. because he discovered that finding a personal faith wasn't just about himself and his personal discovery of the importance of Jesus. John realized that he had a part in God's bigger plan, and his role or his part was to be a pointer to Jesus. And if that involves speaking about who Jesus was and why he was important, well, then John was prepared to do that. If it involved challenging people about their attitudes and their behavior, even if they were powerful people, John was unafraid to do so. But what about you? And what about me? Can we see our part in God's bigger plan? Are there ways in our particular situation that we are uniquely placed to point others to the reality of Jesus and to make him known? That's one of the goals of this season of Advent, and indeed the whole of our Christian lives. Let us pray. Lord, we want to thank you for the way that you use people like John the Baptist to speak simply and directly to our hearts. And so today we want to pray for our hearts and our lives, that they would be committed to your ways. Give us courage where we are fearful. Give us trust where we have doubts. And give us a faith that is worthy of investing in and sharing in order to bring your hope and your transformation, not just to our own lives, but to the lives of those around us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the nations of the world, and today we pray for peace in the troubled places around the world. We pray especially for the peacemakers and for the challenging work of preparing the way for peace when it seems very unlikely or very unrealistic. We pray that you would raise up leaders in communities and governments that would prepare the way for your peace to reign, even in situations of war and conflict. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the sick and the poor and those in any kind of trouble. Today we pray for all who are struggling with their mental health. We remember especially those who are burdened with financial worries and concerns at this time. We pray for all who feel overwhelmed by problems in their homes or workplaces and don't know where to turn. And Lord, we pray that they would find in you a place of refuge and strength. And we ask that your people right across the world would be instruments of your hope and blessing to all who are struggling. Lord, in your mercy. And we take a quiet moment to bring before God any who are particularly in our thoughts or on our minds as we come to church. Might be ourselves and struggles we're going through. It might be someone we know. But we just lift them into your healing presence this morning in the quietness. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Father, accept these, our prayers, for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
As we think further about committing ourselves and turning to God's way of doing things this Advent time, let's sing together, Fill Thou My Life. Let's bring our service to a close with a blessing prayer. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you and remain with you always. Amen. Our closing hymn is May the Mind of Christ our Saviour.